Welcome to this edition of Prophecy in the Spotlight with your hosts, Evangelist Dan Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle, a listener-supported program sponsored by Prophecy in the Spotlight, a ministry where we shine the light on current events and how they relate to Bible prophecy. You can find us at prophecyinthespotlight.com. Now, here is Dan Goodwin with today's program.
Welcome, everybody. Prophecy in the Spotlight here. I am your host, Brother Dan Goodwin, and welcome to all those out in radio land. We also got folks on YouTube watching us. We want to welcome you. And folks, if you're listening via the radio, we want you to know we have a television program on nationwide, CTN, Christian Television Network, every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also on VTN in Arkansas, Victory Television Network, every Saturday, 2:30 Central Time. A lot of folks watch us all over Arkansas and some of Missouri there. And but the good news is you can watch all of our shows on YouTube or Rumble. And I want to let you know about that. So welcome, everybody. I have a special guest today. Doc is not with us for this program. I have Brother William P. Grady in the studio here. Or actually, we're doing a Zoom call here. He's in Tennessee. I'm here in Kentucky. And this is a Zoom call. We just did a television show. We want you to know about that. And that show will be is a 28.5-minute show. You can watch that on YouTube or Rumble. But I wanted our radio audience to hear this, because a lot of the radio audience doesn't either don't have TV, or some of them actually are not even on the internet. And so what they get's on the radio. So I want my radio audience to know about Brother Bill Grady's brand new book called What Must I Do to Be Saved? Now, you may be asking, what's that got to do with prophecy? I say it's got everything to do with prophecy. What's prophecy about? Prophecy is about stirring us up and getting us to realize time is running out. And if we want our loved ones to go to heaven in the rapture, we better get them saved. He's written a tremendous book here. I know on the radio you can't see this, but those of you on YouTube, you can see them trying to get the glare off it there. What Must I Do to Be Saved? It's 140 pages, but basically it's 60 to 65 pages that Brother Grady wrote. And then he has a John and Romans in the back there. And so 60 pages, your loved one could read that. And by the way, this was written to lost people. I read it. I loved it. And there's no doubt he's talking to a lost person as he writes this. And so let me introduce Brother Grady. He's a good friend of mine from Bible college days. He was one of my professors. Loved his classes. He was a man that had some influence on my life. And I appreciate him so much. And I really think he's written some great big books, 900-page books. And we don't have time to share all those with you. But this is a little book, and a lot of people have joked and said, Brother Grady, you couldn't have wrote that. It's too small. And he writes big 900-page books. But I told him this, and I believe this. I told him, Brother Grady, this is your most important book you've written for these last days. Because if the Lord's coming soon, what a way to go out of here by writing a book to lost people to say, hey, if you want to get out of here with us, you better get saved. So, Brother Grady, let me bring you in. Tell them just 60 seconds, Brother Grady. Tell them a little bit about who you are.
Well, 50 years ago, this very moment, starting around March of 1974, I picked up a radio broadcast driving to work. I worked for British Airways at the Philadelphia Airport in cargo sales, and I picked up a Baptist preacher from Clarence Larkin's home church. Got captivated and listened to that 15-minute show. That's why I love radio ministry. Dan Woodward, Oliver Reyes' radio stations. I've been on both of those programs. And I listened, and then I visited the church and got saved on my second visit, a strict Roman Catholic. So I was reached by a radio ministry. And that was in 19, that's 50 years ago, this August, I was saved, and called to preach in October. And so I've been in the ministry 50 years this October. So there's no way to go through the whole half a century of what I was doing in the next 60 seconds. But Dan, that's how I got started. And I've been preaching ever since. Written 6 books. And this is, new one is my 7th book. And it's for your lost loved ones that get saved. It's me explaining in 10 short chapters how to get saved. And They're selling all over the country. Had 11,000 in our first printing 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. They're all gone. I got about 50 books left. We got 7,500 coming in about 6 days for second printing. So, Dan, I don't know if that's good enough for you on a brief synopsis there.
Yeah, and of course, they can watch the program that we did. You gave like a 6 or 7 minute introduction to who you are, and they could go watch that. And we've only got like 10 minutes left here, so I want to get as much as I can. I want to explain the book to them, and you're the man to do it. I'm opened up to the table of contents, but Brother Gray, why don't you just give a little review of your book here and go through the table of contents if you want. Explain how you take a lost person through this book and bring them to the place of decision.
Well, first of all, a lot of preachers could write books for Plan of Salvation and so forth. But I tell people the difference between a lost person reading my book and maybe a lost person reading a normal preacher trying to make an effort to do that would be, I can tell you what the Italian groundhog in Philadelphia said when they asked him if he saw his shadow, like Punxsutawney Phil upstate. And his answer was, I didn't see nothing. That's a silly little illustration, but the common people heard Jesus gladly. I'm not Jesus, but I grew up in three Irish bars in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I know how to talk to lost people and communicate with them on their level. And so 10 short chapters, I'll give it to you real quick. A Rope of Sand is chapter one. That's what George Whitefield, the evangelist, said trying to get to heaven on good works would be like, climbing on a rope of sand. So we review all the verses that say good works can't do anything to help you get in. Chapter two is the passing grade. Most people don't know they have to be perfect if they want to approach God on their personal merit. They think 60% passing, 70%. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Nobody can meet God's standard. They don't know that. So we go through all of that. Then the divine dilemma. Everybody knows God is love, but he's got a second nature. That's his justice, his holiness, his wrath. And they're conflicting. You know, God's love wants you to come to heaven, but his justice can't let you go unpunished. And it's like a brake and a gas pedal. The brake will overrule the gas pedal. God's justice will overrule his love every time. Even though he wants you into heaven, he can't let you get in there because of the sin issue. So we have to find a way to kill two birds with one stone to satisfy his love by getting you into heaven without letting you sneak in the back door and without being punished. That's the divine dilemma. And then we have spiritual death row, chapter four, and that's letting the lost people know you're not waiting to find out which way you're going to go when you meet old St. Peter up there. You're condemned right now, condemned already, John 3:36. And you're on a death row waiting for execution date, not waiting for your trial. And they don't know that. We deal with all the scriptures explaining that. And then chapter five, just and the justifier, that's the verse from Romans. And that means if you'll trust Jesus Christ having died for you in your place, then God can let you into heaven and still be just, even though you're a sinner, because you trusted the penalty that Christ paid for you. He's just and the justifier. That's how he kills two birds with one stone. And Brother Dan likes the illustration that I use, The Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens' book, where one friend goes into the Bastille and disguises his condemned friend with his clothes and has him snuck out. He remains behind and gets guillotined in his friend's stead. That's what Jesus did for us. He died for us. And that movie and book ends with John 10 up there on the screen. I am the resurrection of the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So that's Dickens as a Christian. And then chapter six is the other place. And that's where we really lay out what hell's all about. You know, on the back cover, you kind of hook them in a nice way. The first sentence says, this book was written for people who love God and want to know for sure that they'll go to heaven when they die. It's nice and soft and compassionate. When they get over here, we got them frying like a Jimmy Dean sausage in hell forever if they don't get scared to save. They got to get scared sometimes to get saved. And so we explain all about hell. And then chapter seven is the coup de grace, the main chapter, what must I do to be saved? And that's when we go through Acts 16, that's the cover here, and explain what the Bible says about how to believe and how they can get saved, and give them a little opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior with a little invitation. Then chapter 8, eternal security, assuming they've been saved now, and then what to do after they get saved, chapter 9, and chapter 10, a final caution. And that's for people sometimes that they hesitate to get saved, especially if they're Catholics, Latinos, Italians, Polish, have strong family ties, and the devil brings up the grandma that's dead already with rosary beads in her hand, you know? And so we tell them about Luke 16, and the rich man said, if you can't send water here, send Lazarus to my brothers, lest they come to this place. So we tell them, if your grandmom died and went to hell, the last thing she wants is for you to come down there and visit her. So you better get saved. So there's a quick summary, preacher, of the 10 chapters. And it's also recorded. It's on audio. So they can listen to the 10 chapters on the QR code on the copyright page.
All right. That's awesome. I love that last chapter, and I wanted to bring that up during the show, and we didn't get to it, of course. And the thing about my mom or my dad or my loved ones that they died and went to hell, I think, you know, so you know, why would I don't if I get saved, I'll never see them again. I like how you brought that out. You made that really clear that from Luke 16 that the man in hell didn't want his loved ones to die and go to hell. He wanted them to be saved and not come where he was. One more thing, Brother Grady, and we got about 2 minutes, I think, 2 or 3 minutes. We got the chapter called The Other Place. I chuckled as I read through that chapter, and you called it The Other Place. And I think I know why you did. Explain why you used that term.
Again, we're dealing with unsaved people with very little and no knowledge of the Bible, so you got to communicate with them. And a lot of folks were familiar with Twilight Zone. And if they didn't see this particular episode, I at least summarize it to where they get the picture clearly. And in one of the episodes, this career criminal named Rocky Valentine dies in a shootout. When he wakes up, you know, he sees a guy with a white tuxedo there, clouds everywhere around. And that the guy's name is Mr. Pitt. It's kind of his angelic guide. And he takes him to a beautiful mansion, a penthouse. And Rocky gets a fancy car and all these gorgeous gals, as he calls them, dolls hanging around him. He goes to the casino. He wins at every slot machine. He can't lose at anything. Mr. Pip says you can rob any bank you want. And the only cop he sees is a midget. So it's like perfect. So it's absolutely what heaven would seem like for a criminal. But after about a month or so, he gets bored because he can't lose at anything. So finally, he says to Mr. Pip, who's played by Sebastian Cabot, the actor, I'm Pip. He calls him Fats. He says, I don't know what I did to deserve coming to heaven, but if I stay here one more day, I'm going to go nuts. Can I go to the other place? That's the title of the chapter. And then Sebastian Cabot looks at him and says, heaven, Mr. Valentine, whatever gave you the idea you're in heaven? This is the other place. And he starts laughing like the devil would laugh, you know. And Rocky tries to open the door. Now it's locked. And it ends with with Sebastian Cabot laughing his head off. And so we just start with that picture to get the lost person, you know, following. And then we go all through what the Bible says about hell and what other people have said about hell. And we basically try to scare the fire out of the person.
Awesome stuff, Brother Grady. I sure appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you doing the TV show with us. And now speaking to our radio audience. And folks, we have a case of these books. I can get more. Go to the website, prophecyinthespotlight.com. Real simple, prophecyinthespotlight.com. And you can order the books there. You can get the 800 number there. At the end of the show, they'll give the 800 number if you want to call. We'd love to talk to you. We want to get these books in the hands of lost people. And I hope that you'll participate in this with us. All right. Well, it's been a great day. Brother Grady, thanks so much for coming on. And folks, keep your eyes on them skies.
Thank you for listening to Prophecy in the Spotlight, a listener-supported program sponsored by Prophecy in the Spotlight Ministries. Go to prophecyinthespotlight.com to view all of our shows and materials and to support this program. It is our sincere prayer that today's program has helped you to be ready for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen again next week at this same time.